This episode was created with the support of Free FM, Hamilton, New Zealand's community access media organisation. Visit us at freefm.org.nz.
To connect with Community Waikato on Free FM 89.0. I'm Holly Snape and I'm from Community Waikato, and have with me Charles Clover, who's actually from a few different places right now, from Te Whare Kōkanga and also from Neighbours Aotearoa. Welcome, Charles.
Kia ora, Holly. Happy to be here.
Yeah, it's going to be cool just having a bit of a chat with you about all the stuff that's been going on. It's been a busy last couple of years for you, and I thought we'd start with Neighbours Aotearoa. And this was a kind of a bit of a pilot, right? Something that hasn't really been done, certainly in our community, before.
Yep.
So can you tell us a bit about what the role is and what you've been doing?
Yeah, so we've been working in the South Hamilton community for going on 2 years now. And basically, it started out as a bit of a research pilot around participation culture and what that looks like in communities. So we spent a little bit of time understanding our communities, some of the principles that are involved with participation culture. So being guided by the likes of relationships before ideas, what does that look like? How do we build trust with our community in order to be able to activate stuff like that? Getting alongside our community is another important principle as well. So, you know, it's not about reinventing the wheel in our community. It's about kind of tucking in alongside our tour kind of services that are already doing some choice stuff in our communities as well. A little often and varied is something that we do as well. So it's not really about those big, humongous community events. It's really kind of how do we intimately work alongside our community for some of those smaller, cooler ideas that can happen in our community and stuff like that. And always approaching the mahi with a bicultural lens as well. So Matua Johnny Freeland has a model, a binocular lens model that we work alongside as well, that kind of helps us negotiate our relationships in a culturally appropriate way. So with these bunch of principles working in our community, so the pilot was run here in Kirikiriroa, South Hamilton, Christchurch as well, in Addington, Hoonhae, Rowley. There was a pilot also being run up in Wellsford. And just recently, there's two brand new pilots that have been activated in Onehunga and Mount Wellington as well. So I think councils, departments, communities see the benefit in terms of the mahi that we're doing on the ground, and some of the value. Social cohesion is also what it's about as well. I think the idea that the more a community gets to know itself or knows itself, you know, the more safer, the more inclusive people feel within their communities and stuff like that. So a lot of our activations are really at that grassroots level. How do we get neighbours talking to neighbours? How do we get streets kind of interacting with each other? And you know, a lot of those bumping spaces that already exist within our communities, like our community houses, have been a really good way of getting some traction with our whānau out there,
So tell me about what some of those smaller projects are, because I think, you know, we can see very obviously what some of those big ones are, and there have been some really big activation days, which have been fantastic. But what is it that some of those smaller little projects look like?
Yeah, so with relationships before ideas being a very key principle in the mahi that we do, a lot of the groundwork in, at the beginning is actually that, you know, how do we get to know our community? What does that look like? So some of these small activations are really just finding opportunities, places and spaces to get to know them.
So being down at the shops, being, like being at the park, the kai.
Kai is a really good connector in terms of these types of things. So we activated a Fry Bread Friday at the community whare, and that was literally just pulling up on a Friday, having a fry bread and a coffee and a chat, and getting to know our community and what that looks like. Tucking in alongside some of our local marakai garden whānau out there. There's some really cool gardens in the community, so pulling up and lending a hand. Some of the activations that are happening in our community houses, just being a volunteer and being present. Community barbecues, just pulling up to the mall or up at Beta Street and giving away some free sausages. Another cool way to kind of meet and greet our community and get to know them. A small walkers group that we activated as well, just a gentle walk through our community with like-minded people who want to get out there and, you know, get out in the sun and go for a bit of a walk. Just even though it's a small group, I think some of the relationships that were built, they're deep and meaningful when there's layers to that. And I think that's an important piece of the mahi as well, too. Sometimes when you have these big activations, some of those engagements can be quite fleeting. Whereas if you have, you know, a small like-minded group, you can really kind of delve deeper into the relationship and build some good connections with people.
Oh, 100%, yeah. And that consistent sort of reconnection, you know, on that regular basis will help deepen and strengthen that relationship, eh?
That flows on to other relationships. You know, people get to know other people and then they can come along and invite them as well. And I think that helps in terms of building a lot of trust within our community as well, is if you can show that authenticity in the mahi that you're doing and people can buy into that, then they almost validate that further into their communities and their relationships as well.
Why do you think we need someone to actually coordinate this stuff? Because it probably happened a bit more naturally a number of years ago. But you know, the fact that we need someone to come in and actually intentionally, you know, pull these sort of groups and these events and ideas together. Why do you think it is that is necessary now?
Well, I think ideally, ultimately, the goal is in the role to plant the seed within community and, you know, build these relationships where people can actually take ownership of it themselves.
Yeah.
And, you know, can kind of kick on and do these things as well. I mean, one of my co-worker, Tui, she has a beautiful group of wahine that she works with as a part of the Mana Wahine program. You know, what we're seeing in some of the activations that we're doing is we've offered up the space, the time and opportunity, and then now it's a lot of the wahine that attend the program that are coming up with the ideas around what potentially that space could look like.
Yeah.
Very similar with our walking group as well. We now have a group of walkers that it just started out as a walk, then it kind of hybrided into a walk and let's have a coffee afterwards. Now we've got walkers that are letting us know, hey, there's actually a cool walk or a cool park further down the road. How about next week we take that walk and we head down there? So ideally, we're just planting the seed towards community and whānau, you know, I suppose, figuring out what that looks like for themselves and taking lead and ownership of that as well.
Yeah.
But I think, coming back to the question, we live in a society, I suppose, that when we're in that community development space, there's a lot of, I suppose, services and ideas that come from services or sometimes outside of communities where an idea is thought about and there's probably very little consultation with the community around what that looks like. What we've looked to do with our mahi is kind of flip it on its head, where community development becomes community-led development. And in order to do that, that trust and that relationship building needs to happen. But ultimately, it is kind of just planting that seed and allowing for our community to step into that space and take ownership of it. We're more just the kind of the space holders, really.
Yeah,
if anything.
No, that is marvellous, and it has, I think, had a really big impact in the Hamilton South community. You know, we've seen evidence of that, eh? We've seen those groups, you know, regularly participating, which is fantastic. You know, we've got new relationships at the community house. So, you know, I think that has been a really important part for Te Whare Kōkanga and Glenview Community Centre, you know, is that you've been able to broker some of those relationships.
Yeah, and I think even just sometimes when you have, we've got a really cool group of community-driven people now who are cross-pollinating and kind of supporting stuff in the wider community context as well, volunteering at community events, getting amongst stuff that's happening on the ground in our communities, coming and getting involved with our garden, coming over to our crop swap, heading over to the Connection Cafe at Glenview Community Centre. So, you know, that's really cool to see as well, how these relationships are kind of crossing over to these other beautiful community initiatives.
Yeah, 100%. Speaking of awesome community initiatives, Crop Swap's been one of them. So Neighbours Aotearoa have been a big part of establishing that in Hamilton South.
Mm.
But also there was a big citywide crop swap recently. Do you want to talk us through the crop swap and what's happened there and the big event?
Yeah, so it was a beautiful concept right at the beginning of the mahi that we were doing that was actually kind of looking to be activated in our community. Yona from council was a big part of things initially and what that looked like, understanding that there were activations, crop swap activations happening across Kirikiriroa at that time, and Yona kind of seeing the gap where potentially Hamilton South could become a part of that rotation. So right at the beginning of our mahi, our Neighbours Aotearoa mahi, it was sitting with Yona and looking at how can we support in terms of activating this for our community. So yeah, I think we're 2 years, heading into 2 years of it now, and just the beautiful opportunity that crop swapping, at the idea, the context, the kaupapa, absolutely fitted with the principles that we were already working with.
Yeah.
It's about manaakitanga. It's about that sustainability from community. It is community-led because it's our whānau that are coming and being a part of that as well. But basically, it's an opportunity once a month for people within our community who have gardens, fruit, preserves, or just want to have something that they would potentially like to give to the community. We all come together once a month at the community house at Te Whare Kōkonga, and we're able to give, you know, whatever's growing in our garden or what's ever on our trees or whatever we're baked or, you know, whatever preserves are sitting at home, and then we can give that to the community. And then in turn, if someone from the community has something that potentially we could use at home as well, it's that reciprocal relationship where we're able to give
and sharing, and take something sharing as well. Abundance. I love that concept.
Yes,
that you know we do have abundance, and you know individually.
Yeah,
but the idea then that we can share that with our neighbours and you know people we never met before, and it's actually a. I'm trying to think of how I'd describe it because I've participated in a few of them, and every time I go away feeling like my cup is filled, not just with the amazing plants and food I've been able to take away, but also just getting to know the people in the room. So you run it by opening with karakia, but then doing some whakawhanaungatanga as well, right?
Yep. So a lot of the whānau that do come, sometimes it's the first time they've been in the community house or the first time that they've actually been to a crop swap. So we do get consistently new whānau coming through. So the idea there in getting to whanaungatanga prior to, you know, that's where that relationship building is created and stuff like that. And it helps people to feel connected to their community and to the kaupapa as well. If everyone knows who's in the room.
Yeah.
You know, and you've got people that live on probably have lived on the same street or in the same area for a period of time and didn't even know. You know, it's those connections as well that are cool. Yeah. So the city crop swap that we had the other week was a culmination of all of the crop swaps in Kirikiriroa coming together in the same concept and then activating Te Kopu Mania Garden Place. And it was a beautiful day. Once again, I think it was just the same kaupapa that we do in our community houses, but elevated even more with our wider whānau all coming together. And I think that energy that we just spoken about, it was just even more emulated in the whole day. It was just awesome. People were beaming. People were happy to be there. And just, a huge thank you to the City Council for allowing us to activate that space and for all of the whānau that come from across Kirikiriroa to partake. It was a beautiful event.
Yeah, it was a great outcome. You know, there were so many people coming through, you know, which was amazing, and so much incredible kai, including preserves. And I'd made some tomato chili jam, and I'd only made two jars because I started running out of tomatoes. So I put one of my jars up, and it went really fast, and I was really proud. And I hope they love it.
Yeah, nice.
I've been enjoying mine, that's for sure. But just so cool, you know, lots of seeds that were being shared. Lots of raspberry canes. Hey,
yes.
Like, there's quite a few of those, which is cool.
Must be the season for that as
yeah,
well.
Yeah, that's
a lot
right.
Of greens.
Yep.
Even seedlings as well, ready to be planted. That tea was nice. Shout outs to Mel.
Yes, she made very good tea. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And just, yeah, our whare koko ngā whānau, Mel in general, for planning this whole event alongside council, and congratulations for an awesome activation.
Yeah. And it was awesome of Creative Waikato to allow us to use their space so we could put our bags somewhere and we could keep the kai out of the hot sun before we started. So
I think any opportunity for me to stay connected to our community, our Creative Waikato whānau, I'm always after. So yeah, that was kind of a... Yeah, just an opportunity to stay connected with our awesome whānau over there.
And speaking of our awesome Creative Waikato whānau, the Āhua Tanga Ki Te Kāinga project, you were a big part of. You were the leader for the Hamilton South, particularly the Te Whare Kōkanga crew, working closely with Creative Waikato on that. And we're at the end of that now, finishing off with the amazing documentary. Yeah. So tell us a bit about all of that and how that all went for you.
Oh, man. I think and I feel just absolutely humbled to be a part of such a beautiful kaupapa from the beginning, because we're probably going back a year now, actually.
It will be,
When we first started, we would have been right into it this time last year.
Yeah, we would have had our first whānau days.
First whānau day and all of that. So when I was sitting there in the documentary and all of these memories just come flooding back, I think when you're in the mahi, doing the mahi, you don't actually quite appreciate it as much as opposed to that being able to reflect and look back. And the way the documentary captured that whole experience, just a deeper respect and thankfulness and gratitude for everyone that was involved in that whole project and the experiences our tamariki had, the opportunities that were given for them, and the core memories that were created as well that'll live on for years to come with a lot of our tamariki.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And they've also got some tangibles, right? They've got a music video that they can look up on YouTube anytime and see themselves in a music video, right?
Yeah, things like that.
They've got a book of all
There's
of their artwork.
Yeah, and I suppose even the activations we had at Clarence Street with the performances there, and then at Te Whare Tonga with the museum experience there, where they were able to take their whānau through and see all of their art. It's just huge gratitude for that whole experience. Yeah.
What did you think about being in the regional theatre? Was that your first time in the new BNZ theatre?
Yeah, it was. It was. And yeah, I think, what a beautiful way to kind of cap the experience off, to have it at such a prestigious place like that. You know, I think the beautiful thing about that whole opportunity was those spaces that generally our whānau from Fairfield and our Melville whānau wouldn't generally dwell in, you know. And it's opportunities to perform on a stage at Clarence Street, opportunities to have your art displayed at Te Whare Tonga, and then, you know, having an opportunity to see yourself on the big screen at the brand new theatre in town. You know, it's moments like these that made the whole project even more special for our whānau.
Yeah. You know, and it fits so well, you know, in a couple of different ways. It fits so well with Nobis Aotearoa, right? Like that whole, the underlying premise of the project was around social cohesion and using creativity as that mechanism, right? The tool to connect people.
Yep. And, you know, things like creativity that we've seen, it's kind of proven within our community from this project that it can be that linchpin or that grounding space for that social cohesion to happen. Kai is another one as well. And I think Kai and creativity kind of flowed through that entire project, you know. So you had that double layer as well there. But, you know, it's moments like that. And I could give it up to Creative Waikato and the funders for kind of seeing those outcomes reflecting back. You heard it in the documentary. You heard it from the funders that, even I remember in the documentary, the gentleman from one of our funders at the very beginning, the concept of creativity and creative arts, you know, it's kind of an add-on, but it's not really a need. But then when he saw how creativity and creative arts activated in our community creates those relationships and builds that community, he got it. You could see it. He got it. And it was beautiful to see. Yeah,
I think that that's, you know, that was such an important function of the documentary as well, is to be able to tell the story, because the community houses are really keen to continue this kind of activity, right? To continue to be able to foster creativity in the community, to create space to come and gather and do things. But it all costs money. So, you know, it doesn't have to cost as much, because we probably don't need to make a documentary and, you know, those sort of things. But still, you know, we need to acknowledge the skills of the artists who come in. And there's so much value having artists connect, right, with the whānau, so that they're actually getting really good direction and support to explore so many different mediums of creativity.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think the Wairua and the way that our artists stepped into those roles, the genuineness, the authenticity, the respect that they came into our communities with, it was in turn given back to them as well around the engagements that our community showed, you know, because, you know, it takes a lot of trust for a community to step into those places and feel confident. But the way that our artists were able to come in with that humility and that respect, it was definitely reciprocated.
Absolutely. So, I mean, that was a year, well, 9 months in the end of some pretty important mahi, right? So if you think back over all of it, what would be your biggest takeaway?
My biggest takeaway would be, community is awesome, man. Our community is awesome. Well, you know, community in general, I think when you're able to step into community with that genuineness and with that opportunity that is authentic, they will respond. I think community, if given the opportunity, has the answers. And all we need
to do. Their answers,
It has their answers, because every community is different.
That's
actually as well. So, you know, it's not one size fits all. But if we're able to create those spaces and those opportunities for community to step into their spirits and feel comfortable and bringing that forward, then, you know, those peoples, those services, those community leaders are able to walk alongside them in making a lot of that happen. So, you know, I feel community-led development is the way moving forward. I think really what we need to be thinking about, those that work in community development, is what does listening look like? How do we create places and spaces for our community to feel comfortable in stepping into those conversations? Because it actually takes a lot of courage for our communities to actually step in and voice what these things look like.
Absolutely.
You know, finding that medium ground where we can build those relationships, walk alongside those ideas, but then allow for our community to also take lead in a lot of what that looks like as well. So, you know, just...
And that's a community-led development, right? It's not the experts, so-called, coming and saying, oh, this is what you need and this is how it looks. And when we talk about artists sort of supporting the work, they're not actually coming in going, this is how you paint a rose, for example.
No.
You know, they are actually really encouraging people to just explore it, and that you can't do it wrong.
No,
right?
There's no wrong. Draw a taniwha, and we had like maybe 10 different taniwhas or what that looked like, you know. So it's, it is those spaces. You create the medium and then allow for your community to express what that looks like.
And it resulted in some just incredible pictures and, you know, what are they called, the little flutes?
Ukutani.
I mean, they were pretty cool and quite varied as well, right?
Quite varied as well. Even the little rako that they had as well. They were able to design, you know, their poi as well, that looked like. And I think the more opportunity there where you are able to add your little something to what the bigger picture looks like, then that self-investment gets a lot more deeper as well. You know, that's mine. I did that.
And seeing your part in a bigger community, right? Yeah. Seeing your place and have and feeling like you have a place.
Yes, absolutely. So, I think that's a big piece of that social cohesion as well. Yes. Is you know, that connection to place, to space, to yeah. community. Yeah.
So what do you reckon the future looks like? And I know there's no crystal balls here, but from your perspective, what would be the next step? What should hopefully happen next?
Yeah, I think well, the proof is in the pudding, you know. All the mahi that I've been involved with over the last 2 years definitely points towards those types of outcomes. You know, if we can encourage community-led development to be a part of conversations when funders are being involved or councils are looking at their plans and things like that, that community consultation is really important. So, you know, really the seed has been planted, he kākano ki a koe, and, you know, the platform is there. There are like-minded people in our community that I know will continue to do the choice mahi. You know, we have tuakana services like our community centres with good leaders like Sharon and Ro over there as well. And they're open to these conversations in terms of what that could look like for our communities. And that's across probably a lot of our community whare across Kirikiriroa as well. Mm. It's just encouraging our whānau to be okay with stepping into those conversations and sharing with our community leaders about what potentially your community could look like. But furthermore, taking it a step and encouraging our whānau to think, what can I add? What value can I add to the kitea that is our community?
And we saw real evidence of how much they do add, right?
Oh, absolutely.
Sometimes it's so much about self-belief, eh?
Yes, yes it is. And sometimes our role is just to be that cheerleader alongside them and that encouraging voice alongside them.
Exactly.
Know? Yeah.
Yeah. No, I love it. And I'm really thrilled to see, you know, how this has impacted our community over the last 2 years. But I think what we don't see now is how that plays out 10 years down the track. You know, the confidence that a kid might have got from standing on a stage or seeing their work hung, what that means to them as a teenager, as a young adult, as someone trying to get a job, or, you know, like it actually has, having a sense of success, like, you know, and being able to look back and find that place and time where you were really successful is helpful for our own personal growth, right?
Yeah, I think so. That's part and parcel of the seed that's been planted here now. Mm. Although, you know, probably the challenging thing is how do we capture that?
Yeah.
Or what does that look like? How do we quantify it and things like that? And I think there's some disconnect there in terms of some of those relationships with the likes of funding entities and bodies and stuff like that, because it's actually the narrative and the things that you've just spoken about that probably are the ultimate proof in the pudding. But, you know, the way that our structures are in terms of funding applications or, you know, those types of financial things and stuff like that, there's, you know, there needs to be a continued conversation around, you know, how do we measure that? Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I suppose that's my challenge now, isn't it? So thanks for that, Charles. Yeah. It's been cool as having a conversation with you about this. And I don't think this will be the last time we see you anyway. I suspect that, you know, there'll be things going on and you will be back in the community continuing the amazing work.
Oh, yes, yes. No, I doubt. Oh, yeah. I think doing this mahi in my community, you know, I live in the community. I think every time I step outside my front door, it's just part and parcel of who I am and what I always do. So, yeah, the mahi continues regardless.
The mahi continues. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Thank you so much. That is Charles from Neighbours Aotearoa and from Te Whare Kōkanga. Thank you so much. And you have been listening to Connect with Community Waikato on Free FM 89.0.
This Free FM podcast was brought to you with support from New Zealand On Air.